Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Hello and welcome to the Social. Melissa's off for the rest of the week, and joining us today is iHeartRadio host Meredith Shaw. And Meredith, we have to start with a huge congratulations. You shared on Instagram yesterday that you've gotten engaged to your lovely boyfriend, celebrity chef Rodney Bowers.
Oh, these photos. Tell us.
Oh my gosh. He did it. I'm still in shock. We were on a little vacation, I thought for his birthday. It turned out I got the present. we were just outside of Montreal at this beautiful farm called Bica, and you know, his chefness kind of got us in there, and we had a lovely, really beautiful, creative, intentional meal. The power went out in the middle of it. And it was super romantic because the chef had to light candles everywhere. And I thought, oh, this is just so romantic. I kept saying that out loud, not knowing at all that this was his plan. I don't think he has control of the power grid, but, you know, we'll see. So there were candles everywhere. And then I thought, okay, the chef is probably a little stressed. Like, we should go at the end of the meal and just do our thing. But then all of a sudden he was like, no, have more wine. I'm like, Rod, it's now pitch black in the middle of a cornfield. Like, I think we need to maybe move on. And then all of a sudden he was on the ground, and I thought, what are you doing? He's like coming towards me in the shadows. and I can't see anything. And then all of a sudden he's launching into these beautiful things and words and love. And I'm like, is this happening? Is this a joke? What is this going on? He's like, yes, Meredith, I'm asking you to marry me. And I was like, oh my gosh. And just tears. And, you know, I of course said yes. I still hadn't seen the ring because it was in the dark. So I didn't know what I was saying yes to. But obviously, I knew him very, very well. Very loved. He did good. And then one of the things that happened when we shared the news with the chef, she, you know, was very excited. And Rod said, oh, I just wish we could see your faces. There, you know, there's so much joy in this room right now. And then all of a sudden, the power came back on. And all the twinkle lights came back on. And we were just, I still get shivers thinking about it.
I have shivers.
It was a thing, and it was beautiful. And I had no idea, which, you know, you women know me. I have some ideas about some things and some plans and some stuff I like. And he just did it all himself. And I couldn't be happier. And thank you for your love and always being so kind to me and to us. I so appreciate it.
Oh, Meredith, we're so happy for you. And thanks for sharing that story. We can't wait to have you weigh in on all these topics today. So we're going to kick things off with this. A woman wrote to the advice columnist at Slate saying her husband wants her to tone down her beauty treatments for the sake of their young daughters. She says she gets her hair done, she gets waxes and goes for the occasional spray tan. And her husband is worried it might impact the girl's body image. Do you think her husband has a point, or has he crossed a line?
So I feel like, you know, you set up the story and I was expecting that, you know, this woman got a new face every month, that like, you know, that her original face was eight faces ago. But all she does is maintenance. Like, she gets her face waxed. She says she's of Italian and Greek descent. So those who are out there who, you know, experience similar situations, she gets her face waxed once a month, gets a manicure once a month. And sometimes goes to the spa and colors her hair. Okay, to me, that's like bare minimum by today's standards. So let me get this straight. This man is allegedly trying to protect his daughters so that they don't feel bad about their bodies by making his wife feel bad about the things that she does for her body. That makes total sense. Thanks for mansplaining women's beauty standards, dude. I'm not feeling this guy at all. I think he's the problem.
But Lainey, is it possible that maybe he's coming from a good place? Like, we live in complicated times. Like, it's actually in an age where, like, little kids could be like, Mommy, why aren't you getting older? Because, like, the kind of skincare regimes and services that we can have done are as ubiquitous as, like, the blue eyeshadow in the 80s. So it's, like, complicated times. And I wonder, yes, self-care isn't important, and little kids should see that that is a beautiful thing. And pampering yourself, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, maybe this dad, his intentions aren't aren't bad. He's just like, oh my gosh, we're living in this age where we're telling, you know, women, like, I'm confused by it. You know, 1 minute women's like, don't change a thing, be exactly who you are. But if you change everything about yourself, we'll love you too.
I feel that, Jess. Yeah. And I feel that, like, I mean, you use the word intention, right? And I think it goes beyond intention, as we're all learning over the last couple of years, intention versus impact. You may intend to do something, but the impact of how you end up doing it is totally different. I mean, if he's genuinely concerned about his daughters, he could try not mansplaining to his wife, a woman. He could try having more confidence in how that woman, his partner, is modeling femininity and being a woman to their daughters. I mean, wow, wouldn't that be a testament to not undermining women in their choices? He could also try thinking about toxic masculinity and his role in parenting. Why is it the female person's role in how they parent certain things for the female children? I thought it was like a joint endeavor. So, I mean, I'm just intention versus impact.
And also motivation. Here's the thing. I do think he's making a point. And here's why. I think sometimes we're so in the water, we can't see it. And I think there is a lot going on, a lot of messaging where we think we're doing certain things for self-care or to feel good. But maybe actually it's coming from some sort of outer societal pressure. So I'm feeling like this is an opportunity for her to just sort of check her motivation. Like, obviously, whatever she's doing is totally cool for her. And like you, Lainey, I thought it was going to be more. And even if it was more, I would feel the same way. It's whatever works for you. But if you're for some reason getting a self-tan because you think you need to keep up with Joneses or be a certain type of woman or whatever, then maybe you check that. But if you're doing it for your, because you feel good at self-care, all the more power to you. But I think, you know, if you think these girls are getting influenced by TikTok, like, you, the mama and the dad, are the ultimate influencers in this moment. And I think we need to look at what we're doing, check those motivations. And if you don't want them and to be doing it, why are you doing it? Like, if you don't want them to get into that box, get yourself out of the box. So I feel like there is a bit of a point there for that he's making.
I think is that, like, kids are always watching, right? Like, I remember Jaya was around 3 years old, and he went to, my parents had this, you know, one of those, like, mini cars that are, like, kid-sized? He was driving around in one of them, and he got inside the car immediately, and the first thing he did was he pulled down an imaginary mirror and, like, checked his face. Where did he get that from? He's like, putting on invisible stuff. He got that not from Jason.
No,
he got that from me. And so I thought about it. It was funny at the time. It was cute. But we're constantly setting an example, Meredith, to your point, of how kids want to model their lives. So I can see how this can easily go down a slippery slope from self-care into, you know, societal expectations. Because let's face it, there is a lot of pushing that happens on social media, in regular media, about a certain type of beauty standard. It's often connected to youth. It's often connected to whiteness. It's often connected to a certain type of body size. And so I think we have to be careful about, like, I just think you have to be cognizant. You know, it's one thing, like, when I was growing up, I also have Italian heritage, and I had, like, a unibrow, and I had a mustache, and I was teased, and I would have loved some guidance, and I was afraid to ask. I was afraid to ask my mom about it because we had had such strict rules even around shaving the legs. Remember, you were only allowed to shave to the knee for some unknown reason. So I was afraid to even ask. I mean, not to mention bikini lines. Like, oh my God, I had the poof forever because I didn't know anything. So I think the thing is that you got to maybe let your kids guide the questioning and be aware of the kind of images you're putting out there. And if it aligns with your values, and maybe also checking in about, like, what are they knowing about what's on the inside? Sounds so cheesy, but it's kind of true.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, listen, I do. There are so many terrible images out there for kids, especially young girls. I just think for this mom, if she doesn't want to walk around with a mustache, I don't think her husband should be like, dude, walk around with a mustache so our girls can feel better about themselves. Anyway, we have other family matters to discuss, including, is it wrong to ask about your inheritance? Already I'm uncomfortable. Someone wrote to the Washington Post advice columnist saying they'd like to know details, like, for planning purposes. So, is there anything wrong with that? Have you done it?
Well, Oh, God. I don't think that kids should have to ask in a number of cases, particularly a case where a parent might have to have a little help taking care of themselves. So if adult children know that, you know what, maybe now is not the time to buy that cabin in the woods because we got to save up because we got to help either mom or dad down the road. I think in a situation like that, it makes perfect sense to have those kind of conversations. You know what I mean?
Mm. Well, Kawan on Facebook said... I'll read this really quickly and then I'll go to you. Kawan on Facebook said, if you're from a larger family with money, yes, you ask. I have seen so many families stop talking after a parent or grandparents mm-hmm. have died because the money wasn't distributed as expected. Mm-hmm. Whoa. I mean, I can't imagine. Meredith, what are your thoughts?
Yep.
I was just going to say, I'm so uncomfortable by this conversation. I'm just that you let me know when you're done and I'll come back on. I can't formulate a sentence about it. Maybe I should look into that and check my motivation, but I don't, the whole thing makes me uncomfortable. I can't imagine having that conversation. I don't even like to think about it. Why, what that would mean. Like, I almost feel like I'm putting it. I can't imagine
a parent leaving different amounts to their kids. That's almost from the next life being like, I'm setting you up for just trouble between your siblings for the rest of your lives.
I did know. What? I remember when I was growing up, when I was around 10, there was a girl I knew lived close by, and she was came from a very wealthy family. And I remember her telling me, we were out for a bike ride or something, and she goes, you know, when my parents die, they're leaving me the house, and they're leaving my brother the cottage, and they're leaving my sister the apartment building that we own. And I was just like, this is obviously a very wealthy family. And I was just like, wow, I hadn't even thought about my parents ever dying, let alone, it was just such a weird thing that they knew at that age. I can't imagine talking about this. I think you have to assume that there's nothing and just go from that. My parents retired at 55. Like, they've been living it up since then. And I hope that there's, you know, nothing. Like, I hope that they spend the money in the way that they want and that maybe there's just some money set aside for themselves in a care context. You know, like, if we need to hire in a live-in, you know, nurse or like, you know, that is more prioritized than leaving an inheritance for us personally. Lainey?
Well, I think that in the most ideal situation, of course, families are supposed to be loving and everybody is supposed to be supportive and you share and it's a fairy tale and roses and rainbows and doves that, you know, erupt out of the ceiling and happiness. But as Kawan shared, oftentimes families don't look like that, whether there's money or there's not. So I have heard of several instances where it's one thing to have a will, but then even beyond the will, you have to appoint an executor. And a lot of people choose a family member as an executor. And that person is the one who does all the communications, who makes all the decisions. If even the person who's an executor of the will, the brother, the uncle, this sister, that sister, and there are different siblings, and then there are rivalries, that's when it gets messy and really, really ugly. And that's kind of why it is like the person who is about to leave, their responsibility to let everybody know, I've appointed so-and-so as the executor. That's my decision. Don't dispute it. And this is what I want. The problem is sometimes they're afraid to say this.
Yeah.
And then the mess that is left over is, I mean, they make TV shows about it, as you said, Meredith.
Well, Mom, if you're watching your collection of 100 Royal Dalton Pretty Little Ladies, you can leave that to my brother.
Okay, are you the type of person that works out on vacation? A writer for The Cut argues that you shouldn't waste your time in the gym when you could be enjoying the beach. What are your thoughts on this?
I work out all the time on vacation. I take it super seriously. It's like finding the corkscrew, putting it in, twisting it, pulling it out, doing the lift.
I got so excited.
I take that workout very seriously. Yeah, no, I find this article super judgy, like the judgiest. And I do not like stuff like this. I just, you know, so I think the vacation vibe changes. even for yourself. I used to be someone that loved running and I would go to places to run. And now if you ask mm-hmm. me to go do that, I would say no. So I feel like a vacation should be exactly what you want it to be. And if that is getting up and going out and doing your workout, great. And if it's not, great. Like maybe you choose who you vacation with based on the phases that you're both in. Because I'm not going to say if I was like mimosing at the buffet and someone was up early going for a big run, that I wouldn't be a little feeling badly about that. But
it's an excellent point. It's an excellent point. Right? You'd want to be like on the same sort of mindset as the person you're vacationing with.
Whew. Although, you know, Meredith, I agree with you. And I would think of myself as somebody who never works out on vacation. That was my initial thought when I was reading this article. But then I realized there was a trip that we took as a group for Marcy's 50th in Vegas. And Lainey, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you and I got up not once, but twice to work out during that. And I was like, who am I? And I don't even know why. I think I was trying to undo some of the damage in a feeble attempt. And also because maybe I do think it does help a little bit with a hangover. But that's normally me.
Yeah. I will say that I hate working out, but I work out. And I'm not ever going to be one of those people like Mel. Can't wait to go work out, and she is the workout queen. That's
but
not my attitude.
But she didn't even come with us on that trip.
Yeah. She didn't.
She stayed in bed.
She stayed in bed, and we went. We went to do the thing we hate.
Yes.
So, and the reason why is because as much as I hate working out, I'm also very, very vain, and my vanity doesn't go on vacation. You know, I don't go on holiday and suddenly I'm not a, no, I'm never, I'm so vain that yes, when I'm on holiday, I would like to keep up with my fitness. I also love to indulge. Like you all have seen me, Jess, you especially. I go hard. When I party, yes. I eat hard. I go hard. And so the working out helps me go hard in other ways. So I've not only worked out on holiday, I've taken a photo of myself in the gym on holiday. Here's a shot of me in the Dominican Republic at the resort we always go to. Right? And I have to say, I was feeling myself that day. I'm pretty sure I had just come off at like a 5K run on the treadmill. And I was, and if you look at the clock, I actually zoomed on the photo on the clock earlier. It was 9 a.m. So it was actually, I went to the, 9:10, what is that? It was almost 9 a.m. And the sun, the perfect sun at our resort comes out at 10. So I wrapped by 9 a.m. I went to get some breakfast and then I was on the beach. So I don't know what this writer is talking about. Like I wasn't wasting time on the beach. I was getting my beach in after feeling, you know, like I had accomplished something. So, and that's me. I hate working out.
I like that you're the personification of work hard, play hard.
I can't work out on vacation because I only travel with a travel on, a carry-on size bag. And I'm not filling it with workout gear. I got to fill it like with white linen outfits for the gram, if you know what I'm saying. But let's move on to something else. We love hearing from our audience in our ongoing advice giving series.
Dearly,
what should I do about my partner just pulled by? What would you suggest?
The social suggests.
So an anonymous viewer wrote to us with this. At 9:30 a.m. last weekend, my toddler was out of the house, so I finally had a moment to mow the lawn. But halfway through, I noticed that many people in the apartment building behind me were angrily opening up their blinds, seemingly frustrated that I had woken them up. I felt so bad, I immediately stopped and came back to do it at noon. But help me out, is 9:30 a.m. too early to mow the lawn on a weekend? Thoughts?
No, it is not too early. I mean, I will say the fact that she did have the opportunity to do it at noon is a little bit crappy. She could have pushed it. I thought she had a small window. But it's not too early by most standards. I feel bad for people who do shift work. But you know what is always really loud? Your barking dog. How many people have been woken up by an annoying barking dog in the neighborhood or can't get to sleep at night because of an annoying barking dog? How about construction sites. They start magically around like 6:30 in the morning. And then have you ever noticed the fact that they're always wrapped? Like, how many times have you driven by a construction site and been like, it's only 3 p.m? Where the heck are these people? Anyway, I'm going to say there are many, many reasons that will keep you awake. I think you just need to get some earplugs.
Well, Stephanie on Facebook wrote us, 10 a.m. on a Saturday or Sunday morning is reasonable, presumably more reasonable than this 9:30. I'm a bartender server who works Friday and Saturday nights. So, yes, I tend to get a little frustrated when the neighbor across the street starts up the lawnmower before 10 a.m. And Stephanie, I don't think 10 a.m. is too early, but I will say this. It's if you're the one hearing the annoying noise, then it's always too early or always too late. I'm the lady who, like, we were at the cottage last summer, and I remember looking at Simon being like, I cannot believe this. Can you hear those jet skis? This is preposterous. And he's like, Jess, it's 4 p.m. on a Saturday and you're at the cottage. I was devastated. Like, how dare they? How dare they light off fireworks? He's like, Jess, it's July 1st and it's 8 p.m. You know?
Ugh, I am glad that I shared my engagement announcement today, because maybe that means you won't come for me as hard, but I think it's too early. I think 9:30 is too early.
9:30?
To start doing that. I do. And here's the thing. And we got kids and we, you know, I'm an early riser in radio. Like, I just think it's too early. And here's why. I get you had a window. The grass is not like a must mow situation emergency right now. Like, it's grass. So if you're like doing construction or you're in a, you know, renovate, whatever, but the grass, like, it can take a second. It can grow another inch. It can just, like, you know, and I think you live to your neighborhood. And so she now knows those people will stare down at her. I used to water my plants. I live in a house now, but I was in a loft. I used to water my plants and it would drip down onto my lower neighbors while they were having their morning coffee. Gross. Bad move. I changed up my behavior. So I think it's just where you are. But 9:30, yeah.
Okay, Meredith, I'm going to fight you on this. I'm going to fight you on this because first of all, at noon, okay, where we live at noon in the summer is easily, with Humidex, 40 plus degrees out. You don't actually, it's not safe to be mowing your lawn out. Like,
that's the point.
Like, okay. And so the morning, okay, and the late afternoon.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going for health and safety. The morning, like, as if I do any yard work, please. I do not do any yard work. But my dad used to do dad used to do the yard work. Yes. I work out indoors where the air conditioning blows at my face beautifully and I have a natural wind machine. But I don't do any yard work, but like my dad used to do yard work, and a lot of, you know, seniors are out there, they're taking care of their gardens. I don't want them in the blazing at noon doing yard work. I want them to do it at 8 to 9, whatever, before the sun comes out. I will say this though, Victoria on Facebook says, I just want to get Victoria's comment in. 8 a.m. is a good time to start. People who complain about noise at 9:30 are probably the same people making noise at 2 a.m. So Victoria has a little shot to fire off in return.
That is an excellent
I just
point.
Want to say that the woman who wrote in, she is not elderly. She has a toddler. I don't want elderly people in the blazing sun.
Sunstroke can affect all ages. Sunstroke can affect all ages.
I'm not being
incredible,
changed.
You guys. I never thought that this would get us as fired up as it has. This is fantastic.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.